Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Kepath Education International Q3 FY23 Report and Appendix 4C Investor Briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question via the phones, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Steve Fewing, Global CEO. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you, and hi, all. Welcome to our Q3 FY23 results webcast. Joining me here today is Peter Bilerick, our CFO. We're gonna talk about Kepath. Kepath is a global edtech company leading transformation of education to online with the mission to unlock greatness in educators and individuals. We do this by partnering with leading universities to offer high-quality online programs across the most in-demand disciplines globally. Kepath is positioned to leverage our global presence and solve global skills in an evolving market. Our platform supports universities through online education within large and growing markets within healthcare and Asia Pacific markets. We continue to grow our revenue while having good traction to achieve profitability. To put this in context, let me talk about some metrics on Kepath. Kepath is a growing global business with an attractive market with strong underlying fundamentals today. We have 43 global university partners, 240 active programs, which continues to grow, showcasing universities want to expand online in a partnership model. Really, all of this is done because of our 800 dedicated employees around the globe. We certainly are proud of our culture, and it's recognized with Best Place to Work awards in Australia, Canada, and the U.S. Our employees and their commitment to our mission is what drove our financial performance. Our financial performance in Q3 year-to-date FY23 revenue was $91.7 million, up 9% on a constant currency basis, driven by our 22% growth rate in our healthcare and social science programs. Peter will go into our Q3 FY23 financial results shortly, but before, let's turn to how these results reflect our longer-term priorities. We are laser-focused on key drivers of growth and profitability and returns. Number one, we're optimizing our portfolio by reallocating investments and capital to drive mature vintage contribution margins while also executing growth plans on our exciting new recently launched Sign programs. As I mentioned before, we're looking at options to optimize our partner and program portfolio to focus on regions and verticals where we see the most opportunities for Kepath and our partner. Number two, a really exciting part is our growing our healthcare business, and we're doing this by growing in three areas. First of all, expanding our existing product, such as nursing, social work, and counseling. Second is growing our clinical health programs in Australia. Lastly, introducing new products such as occupational therapy, speech pathology, and several others. Our third priority is obviously expanding in APAC via our enterprise relationships, growing offerings across online education platforms, while also growing with existing and new partners in Southeast Asia. Finally, we continue to be hyper-focused on cost as we continue down the path of profitability with adjusted EBITDA profitability from H2 FY24. These long-term priorities are all in the context of a market undergoing growth, transformation, and transition. As we've seen, online education is transforming higher education by providing more access to individuals to acquire new skills or reskill to adapt to global changes. We continue to believe online education and universities partnering with providers will continue to fuel this access and growth. Why do we focus on healthcare? Well, KeePath continues to be a leader in healthcare education, and the need for healthcare professionals has never been greater. We feel KeePath is well positioned with our investments in clinical placement and healthcare courseware to solve shortages within nursing and social science field. As you can see, our healthcare vertical is making up an increasingly large proportion of our revenue, which we feel provides a strong underpinning to our long-term growth and is a real competitive advantage. Now let's turn to how we built our market-leading momentum in online education within healthcare. When we launched our healthcare platform, we wanted to build something that universities could leverage to create scale and growth, and build something that is very hard to replicate as a single university. And I do believe we've accomplished that goal. 28 of our 43 university partners have healthcare programs, and 20 of them use our clinical placement function and network, where we place students for practical, hands-on component of their healthcare degree. In that short time, we've built a network of over 15,000 clinical and field placement relationships with approximately 350 healthcare systems in our global placement network. This investment in clinical placement and in new products will drive much of our growth in the future, as evidenced by the fact that our healthcare revenue is now 54% of total revenue. And today, we're growing a healthcare platform of the future. From this compelling offering and head start, KeePath is excited about building the healthcare education platform of the future. We will have more to say about this at our Investor Day later in May. Our vision for healthcare education is to create a platform for all healthcare stakeholders to maximize access and choice to healthcare education. The results are to address skills shortages in healthcare that no other university partner can create on their own. And now turning to the other area where we're driving significant evolution of online education, and that's our APAC region. In APAC, KeePath has proven track record of partnering with leading universities to maximize their reach by turning their on-campus programs into online versions and also developing new online programs for them in new and complex areas such as healthcare, social science, business, and STEM. We have 10 partners in Australia, and we're making great progress with our diversified offering as well as expanding in new offerings within short courses, career accelerators and degrees, adapting to students looking for short skill-based training. More broadly, our Southeast Asia expansion is progressing well, with us having partnerships with two leading private institutions, Sunway in Malaysia and STEM in Singapore. There is more to come in Southeast Asia as we continue to execute on our strategy of building on two enterprise-level partnerships with online education platforms across the partners. Through our landmark partnership, Melbourne Business School is in market today, enrolling students for our first intake in July. The online programs of MBS will be offered as a platform concept for increased market reach and impact beyond our standard postgraduate programs, which includes short courses and career accelerators. Both Southeast Asia and MBS are in line with expectations, and we continue to see long-term sustainable growth. We are continuing our market leadership in APAC and developing online education platforms for our partners in key verticals as business and regions such as Southeast Asia. This will maximize the reach to students to meet them where they are in their life journey and with their life goals, while also keeping KeePath to drive revenue growth from expanding addressable markets and platforms from new courses, enhanced conversions, and cross-selling. Well, now let me turn it over to Peter Biller.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Steve, and good morning to all. As Steve mentioned previously, we saw continued growth in programs with our focus in the U.S. healthcare market and big wins in the APAC market. Of the seven programs added in the quarter, six were in healthcare, the healthcare segment, in both the U.S. and Australia. Course enrollment growth continued to moderate as expected in the quarter, given the challenging comp to fiscal 2022, which benefited from the COVID enrollment lift, particularly in the APAC market. We expect that exiting Q3, this challenging comp should normalize. For the quarter and year-to-date periods, revenue grew over 10% and 9% respectively on a constant currency basis. This growth was primarily driven by our improving portfolio mix. For the 9 months of fiscal 2023, contribution margin decreased as expected by $1.2 million to $16.8 million. This expected decline reflects the challenging comparison to fiscal 2022 due to lingering COVID benefits in 2022. In addition, contribution margin felt the impact of the expected softening of enrollments in our mature vintages, which are more heavily weighted to the business vertical. For the 9 months of fiscal 2023, adjusted EBITDA declined as expected by $2.6 million. This decline was due to the contribution margin decline I just noted. In addition, year over year, foreign currency impacts, as well as increased travel-related expenses exiting COVID, contributed to adjusted EBITDA declining year over year. As noted in prior presentations, we do expect to get material leverage on our indirect costs over the coming years. Turning to our cash position as of the end of Q3, we ended the quarter with $36.8 million of cash on hand and no debt. This is in line with our expectations and reflects the seasonality of our business. As a reminder, Q1 and Q3 are typically lower cash receipt quarters, as our largest student starts and course enrollments are typically in these quarters, with a relatively high cash outflow versus cash inflow in these quarters. We remain confident we are fully funded to cash flow break even. Now let me turn it back to Steve, who will discuss our fiscal 2023 progress and our outlook.
Thanks, Peter. As we've discussed throughout the presentation, KeePath has strong financial foundations and outlook and is well positioned to continue being a leading, growing, and soon profitable online education company. We have already sold 40 programs from our future vintages, of which 35 are in healthcare. We are maximizing the breadth of our offerings through revenue and margin-enhancing online education platforms, including our MBS partnership. Our portfolio is well-diversified with partners in various regions, programs in different verticals, along with strong macro trends in online growth within education. We are reconfirming our FY23 guidance of US $125 million to US $130 million revenue and US -7 to US -9 million adjusted EBITDA, both at a constant currency, and our target for adjusted EBITDA break even of second half of fiscal 24. We are looking forward to going to detail on our strategy and growth and profitability initiatives at our virtual investor day on 18th of May, with registration details available in an ASX announcement from March 22, 2023. Thanks for all joining, and we're happy to open it up for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Tim Lawson from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question.
Hey, Tim.
How are you going? I might just actually ask Peter just to sort of talk through the sort of cash flow seasonality between now and your sort of second half 24 cash flow break-even target. You sort of touched on some of that, but maybe sort of thinking about how that seasonality affects that cash profile over the next sort of 12 months.
Well, yeah, I think our next year, we didn't talk about cash flow. We were talking about profitability in this, from the second half of 2024. But yeah, from a cash flow perspective, specifically, as we've seen in the past, and I mentioned, Q1 and Q3 are going to be our big burn quarters, and that'll continue to be, where you see more outflow than inflow typically in those quarters. And that will continue going forward just because the seasonality and the nature of our intakes won't change with the underlying business. But yeah, from there, I mean, we're feeling, as I mentioned, that we're fully funded through cash flow break even. So, we expect to continue to see burn into FY24 and then leveling out. So.
And Tim, the only thing I would add to that, Tim, maybe just, maybe,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, Tim. Can I just jump in real quick? Yeah. I think the thing that also about our business we talked about is we're continuing to get leverage on our indirect costs. So if you kind of look at our indirect costs over this period of time and you kind of continue to grow revenue into the future and we feel like we've built and invested in our indirect costs, but we're not going to see a substantial amount of increased costs there. So we're getting continued leverage there. And then as I said in my comments, we're hyper focused on our cost. We're obviously, as we talked about, we're, evaluating opportunities with our partners and doing everything we can, obviously, to make sure that we're maximizing the greatest opportunities for KeePath and our partners.
Yeah, that's great. So, and Peter, just in terms of I appreciate your first quarter and third quarter, a big cash burn, and you're talking about sort of from a profitability break even, but we still should see some improvement aligned with that on the cash flow side as well?
Sure. I think, obviously it's going to, the burn mitigating, otherwise we'd run out of cash, right? So,
yeah.
This just all ties back. I mean, as we talked about in the past, the reason that you're not seeing material improvement in cash outflow, like if you were to look at the cash flow from operations last year for the quarter versus this year, the reason that's not changing much is because of all the large vintages that we're launching, which as those mature, as we've talked about, that's where the profitability comes, that's where the cash flow comes and whatnot. And so these are the large vintages running through our P&L, as well as the Asia, launching our startup operations over there. So, and that all mitigates over time.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Jules Cooper from Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to touch on the pivot and focus on the more profitable vintages and your back book. You do comment in the release that you're seeing continued pressure there. Is that really you just sort of, highlighting, I guess, what you've already communicated as being an impact for this year, which I think was around about a 15% decline in those earlier vintages? Or are you sort of, just highlighting that is sort of an ongoing pressure in that area and, would like to, just an update on how you're seeing that mature vintage,
yep.
I suppose, progress,
yep.
would be helpful.
No, I don't think there's any sort of change to the growth rate on our mature, or you call it our back book vintage. We've previously have talked about that about a 15% decline kind of in our mature vintage, and just remind you and everybody, part of it, we saw some decline just based on the market dynamic. Most of these programs that are in decline were in the kind of the business vertical that have a kind of counter-cyclicality to it. And in addition, we, you know, took, because of that decline, we took, and we had large vintages in 2021, 22, and 23, we took investments in marketing dollars from there and reallocated those to where we think the longer term growth pattern is going to be. So we, you know, those wouldn't have declined the 15% if we wouldn't have taken some investments out of those, but that we needed that to fund these very, very large recent vintages. But no, to simply answer your question, no, there's no material change in our mature vintages. They're basically tracking what we thought they were going to be. And obviously, but it does put pressure when your back book is what your drives a lot of your contribution margin. It obviously puts a little bit of pressure on your near term year over year contribution margins.
Yeah. And the only thing I'd add to that, Jules, is that as we've said in the past, and this is still the case today, is that we expect that mature vintage decline to moderate, you know, going into 24 and beyond. So it's not like we're going to continue to decline 15%, you know, in perpetuity here. So.
Yeah. Okay. So we should really be, I know you haven't sort of, you know, providing guidance or anything, but if we just think through the, you know, the logic here with that mature vintage, impact being less and moderating into next year, plus the growing health business and the size of that, you know, overall we should see pretty strong, you know, solid top line growth into 24.
Yeah, I mean, I take you to one that I think why we feel good about. If you look at course enrollments, you know, being relatively flat year over year, from kind of look at our course enrollments, but you look at our revenue being on a constant currency 8 or 9%, and I think that's is really an illustration that our portfolio is actually getting stronger. Is that our course enrollments continue to, you know, drive better return, drive better revenue per student, and so as we make this shift, we're shifting not only to where we think that the market is going to, we're actually shifting to a portfolio that has, I'd say, better unit economics, you know, just in terms of a revenue per student. Again, they take a lot of investment to get up and running. You know, that's why our recent vintages, you know, we drag so much contribution margin. But we think long term, and if you just look at course enrollment and you look at the revenue, we think that it's a good indication that, you know, the transition is working fairly well.
That's excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand the conference back to Mr. Firing.
Well, thank you very much for listening to our Q3 results. We are, proud of the results since being a listed company. It's a great company to be at. I really am proud to lead a bunch of just real, real professionals in this education industry. Also remind everybody, to, you know, certainly join our investor day coming up in May, and we're excited about sharing more details on our healthcare platform, more details on our education platforms, and really kind of our drivers for growth. So thank you very much, and have a great day.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.